Australians in abusive relationships will be given 10 days paid leave to help them escape violence and find extra support if Parliament passes new laws being introduced this morning. The new Labor government has made the area a priority, quickly putting forward the reforms as well as promising progress on the national plan to end violence against women and children. As the government plans changes to workplace law, it's also making changes to welfare, vowing to scrap the coalition's cashless debit cards. Amanda Rishworth is the Minister for Social Services, and she joins me now in our Parliament House studio. Minister, welcome to Breakfast.
Great to be with you.
The government will introduce legislation to give 11 million Australians, including casual workers too, 10 days of paid family and domestic violence leave. What will that do for people who are trying to leave abusive situations?
Well, what will it do? Will make sure that if women particularly are working and they need time off to, whether it's to leave, to attend court appointments, to attend counselling or to access help, they won't have to choose between lying to their employer or having to quit their job. They'll actually have this entitlement that will allow them to take time off. It'll be paid, so you won't have that financial consequence of not turning back, turning up to work, and actually allow them to be able to deal with some of these issues and not be punished as a result of not getting an income or perhaps losing their job.
When would a person be able to activate this leave, and what kind of circumstances would it cover?
So this leave will be coming in large organisations from February, and there'll be a 6-month delay to implement it in smaller businesses. But what they'll have to do is provide some evidentiary information to their employer. It could be a statutory declaration, it could be whether it's a letter from a doctor or a counsellor, and that will trigger the opportunity to access that leave.
Casuals are included in this. How will it work for them? And is that a sign Labor wants to extend other protections for casuals, usually reserved for ongoing employees?
Well, I think we recognise that this type of leave, we hope, won't be accessed by the vast majority of employees, that this is really unique and very difficult circumstances. So that is part of the reason we have said that we want this to be extended to casuals. For casuals, what it will be is that they will be able to get paid for any rostered shifts they might have had, and that they need to take this leave, they will get paid for those shifts.
As you say, it's expected to start in February next year. Small businesses get this longer period of time. Will the federal government offer assistance in terms of educational guidance? I mean, a lot of those businesses are concerned about this. They've shared that with you. They've said they don't really, you know, it's financially going to be an impost on them, and also they're worried about the implementation. What are you offering?
Look, we said we will work with business to provide an education and support to make this transition. Most employers actually understand this as an issue and do want to help their employees if they're in a situation where they need to access this. Really what employers are saying they need support with is, for example, how is it going to be recorded on a payslip, and making sure that that's confidential. And so working through some of those implementation issues are important, but we have definitely committed that we will support business, particularly small business, in how they transition and make this leave available. But most employers have not balked at the concept of it. It really is about getting the implementation right.
And if they need more than 6 months, would you revisit that?
Well, look, I think we're putting that in legislation. I think it gives us ample time in which to get on with this. I think we've struck the right balance between giving some time to implement it, but also recognising that this is a really big problem and something that many in the union movement and outside of the union movement have been campaigning for a long time. So we also need to get on with it as well.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to ABC Radio National Breakfast, and my guest is Social Services Minister Amanda Rishworth. I want to move to another topic that you are also going to be implementing some change on. You're saying you're getting income management, you're getting rid of income management, Minister, but can I confirm that you're keeping the basics card, which operates in much the same way for people still on welfare in the Northern Territory?
Well, at the moment, we are abolishing the cashless debit card, and that is our first step in ensuring that income management is truly voluntary. So the cashless debit card affects about 17,300 people across the country, in Ceduna, in Bundaberg, mm-hmm. in a range of places. That is the first piece of legislation that we have put in to ensure that that gets abolished and that we transition people off that card after this bill passes the Parliament. In terms of the basics card, the income management that predates cashless debit card, we've said that we want to work with communities in the Northern Territory about what the future of that type of income management looks like. So I would like to have a lot of consultation about that. But our first step is the cashless debit card, and we need to meet with people individually if they don't contact Services Australia to make sure that transition is smooth. So I'm not underestimating the job of transitioning over 17,000 people off that card. So that is the first order of business, and then we will consult around what the future of income management, commonly known as the basics card, looks like.
So, Minister, to be fair, you're not actually getting rid of income management. You're getting rid of one element.
Well, our commitment in the election was to abolish the cashless debit card, which we're doing. We have said...
The end of income management.
Well, we never said there would be the end of income management. We said there would always be a voluntary income management option for individuals that chose it or communities that chose it. And I would point to the Cape York, who has a structure in place called the Family Responsibilities Commission, who have said that they want still the option to refer people to income management. So we're keeping that in the legislation. When it comes to the basics card, which is a broad-based in the Northern Territory, we want to consult about how we move forward with that.
Those remaining on the basics card, particularly in the Northern Territory, as you know, are overwhelmingly Indigenous. Do you understand that for many people that have written into our program, they see this as... a policy that some have described to me as racist, that the NT remains on income management, Aboriginal people stay on it, and in fact the people who come off are largely white?
Well, I'd make the first point, the cashless debit card affected predominantly First Nations people as well, and that is why we have taken steps to remove it. When it comes to the Northern Territory, as I said, I want to consult with communities. There are some communities that have indicated that they would like to stay on as a community on income management, and we need to work through how that looks like. Cape York, as I said, has a model of a referral process. Some states and territories have a referral process for child protection, for example. I'd like to consult and work through that. But the first step is the cashless debit card. It was due to sunset in December. We have over 17,000 people to work with to transition off that card. I want to do that in a responsible manner. But I do also want to reassure people that once the legislation goes through, if you want to get off it, there will be no hoops to jump. You'll merely have to ring up Services Australia to get off that card.
Okay, but if you're on a basics card and you're an individual and you don't want to be on that basics card, but perhaps your community has agreed to be on it, should there be the ability to come off?
Well, that is going to be a conversation that we need to have when it comes to the basics card with the communities, with the Northern Territory, and I am committed to do that, as I said.
And what time frame? Sorry to interrupt. What sort of time frame is that going to happen?
Well, first, our first order of business is to get people off the cashless debit card. That time frame, once the legislation goes through the Parliament, is baked into the legislation. That'll be no longer than 6 months. So it's a big piece of work once the legislation goes through. And then I will be turning my attention to consulting with communities around the basics.
And how long will that consultation go for?
How long's a piece of string, Patricia? We're going to work through this to make sure that people have a voice. But what I'm committed to is listening to First Nations communities about this issue and making sure that they have a say over their the things that govern them. And I have to say that was what was very concerning, particularly about some of the trial sites with the cashless debit card. I mean, when it comes to Bundaberg and Hervey Bay, the decision was made because the local member wanted it. It was almost like an election commitment to impose this card on broad base, everyone over 35, to say you have to go on this card. That was almost like an election commitment from the local member. That is not local decision making.
But in terms of just on the principle, first principles, if you think the basic card still has merit, for those that think, don't know, cashless card is different, but the same principles, doesn't it demonstrate that perhaps the principles work, or that you have some sympathy that the principles work?
Well, as we've said, there will be an option for voluntary income management. But if we go back to the cashless debit card, one of the other problems with it was actually not run by government. It was run by a privatised company. Inju was the company that had a bank account and that you dealt with if you had a problem with your card. And we heard countless stories of having problems with the card, and you had to contact a privatised company. So there was concerns with that part of it. There were concerns with the 80% that was stored on the card that you couldn't access cash. And I heard countless stories where you can't buy a secondhand fridge because you didn't have enough cash. Mm. So you had to go and buy a new fridge. And the ability to manage money was very difficult. So I think there were some principles. We need to work through what income management looks like. But I've made a commitment to communities that if income management is something they would like into the future, then that will be a voluntary option. And there will be some people that will choose that. But we're not going to have broad community across a community because the local member decided it was so.
Final one, Minister, on another question in relation to cost of living. We know it's going through the roof. The inflation figure revealed yesterday made that crystal clear. The Treasurer today delivers the economic statement. The people most at risk are people really who are disadvantaged. They're in your portfolio. That's your area. People on fixed incomes, particularly people on unemployment payments and so forth. Are you agitating internally, or can you share with us whether you will be doing more to try and ensure those people on those payments get some assistance at this time of crisis?
Well, look, it is a very, very difficult time for Australians. The Treasurer has outlined that, and those that have the least amount of money is particularly difficult. What my job is to make sure that I am talking with Australians to make sure that we do get, the supports in place. When it comes, though, to JobSeeker, it will be indexed in September, as will the pensions, to take into account some of those cost of living figures. But in addition, our government is also working on reducing the costs of medicines, of driving down electricity prices, of addressing the cost of childcare. So I think we've got to look at this in a very broad view. In addition, of course, we've made a commitment about building public housing. Not all of this can be delivered overnight, but we do have a plan to address costs of living but also make reforms in the long term.
Minister, many thanks for coming in, and I look forward to many conversations. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's Minister for Social Services Amanda Rishworth, and you're listening to ABC RN Breakfast. Patricia Carvelis with you.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.